This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Wagging an accusatory finger at Iran. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koschenka, it is Thursday, April 20th. Welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
America's top ambassador says Tehran is continuously working to destabilize the Middle East. Hear the remarks from Secretary of State Rex Tillerson.
TV host Bill O'Reilly is out at Fox News following a sexual harassment scandal and the departure of advertisers. Hear how the network covered news about itself.
A day after the Super Bowl champion Patriots visited the White House, the NFL releases its 2017 schedule tonight.
And the cities and states pushing companies to stop asking potential employees about their salary history.
Seems like the world we live in today, which is like a post-lean-in universe. Companies, lawmakers, you know, fair pay advocates are all really fired up about closing the pay gap, and they all have kind of different tactics for how to do that.
Wall Street Journal reporter Kelsey G on getting rid of what could be the most awkward question in job interviews. She's here in about 20 minutes. America's top diplomat says Iran is engaged in alarming ongoing provocations to destabilize the Middle East. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson made the comments yesterday as the Trump administration begins a review of its policy toward Tehran. Mr. Tillerson says the review will examine Iran's compliance with a 2015 nuclear deal, as well as its behavior in the region, which he said undermined U.S. interests in Syria, Iraq, Yemen, and Lebanon.
Iran maintains a long-standing hostility towards Israel, providing weapons, training, and funding to Hamas and other Palestinian terrorist organizations.
And though there was no sign the Trump administration intended to walk away from the nuclear deal, Mr. Tillerson twice cautioned that Tehran could become a threat like North Korea. He said the nuclear deal between Iran and six world powers, including the U.S., failed to, quote, achieve the objective of a non-nuclear Iran and only delays their goal of becoming a nuclear state. Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz, chairman of the powerful House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, has announced he will not seek re-election next year. He wrote on Facebook yesterday that he had made a personal decision to return to the private sector. Mr. Chaffetz, who's 50, has advocated before that public service should be for a limited time and not a lifetime or full career. He used the phrase get in, serve, and get out. He was first elected in 2008. He told KSL Radio in Salt Lake City that sleeping on a cot has been a motivating factor, too.
I joke about the cot and I laugh about it. It's not comfortable. My wife likes to tell me, well, it's not supposed to be comfortable because I never did want to settle in there forever. But that is much more of a factor than any sort of raucous town hall or discontent within, you know, the body itself. I don't mind that.
You'll recall that during the 2016 election, he held a number of hearings on Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server. Mr. Chaffetz has indicated he could be interested in a run for Utah governor in 2020. With Secretary of State Rex Tillerson saying the United States was looking at ways to pressure North Korea over its nuclear program, North Korean state media is warning, don't mess with us. Meanwhile, U.S. military options for confronting North Korea's nuclear and missile development programs are fraught with risks. The basic problem? It's unlikely a U.S. strike could wipe out North Korea's nuclear arsenal completely or prevent the country's unpredictable leader, Kim Jong-un, from launching a devastating artillery and missile attack on South Korea in retaliation. It's a story from Jim Michaels, military writer at USA Today. Jim, what's up here?
Well, I think there's two issues. One is North Korea's capabilities, you know, with its nuclear arsenal, missiles that can reach around the region, if not to the U.S., at least can threaten the region. conventional artillery and missiles and rockets pointed at Seoul, just 35 miles south of the border. So you've got the capabilities. The second thing is you've got a leader who, of course, is very unpredictable, and there's no telling what he would do to retaliate if there was some kind of strike against him. Or, for that matter, he's often retaliated without provocation. Yeah, I think there's an argument that can be made in that regard. But again, he has, for example, sank a South Korean warship some years back without provocation. Other incidents, too, have indicated that he doesn't always act rationally. I think the problem is it's a gamble that the U.S. up until now hasn't wanted to take. We'll see what happens in the future.
How about the message that may have been sent by the Trump administration with those Tomahawk cruise missiles sent to Syria, the Moab bomb that landed in Afghanistan? Do you think North Korea takes note of that and says, those are proactive strikes? We're not used to seeing that.
I think it has, and North Korea, even their officials have said that they think the Trump administration's more aggressive and so forth than their predecessor. President Pence is in the region, made mention of it. The Moab bomb and the cruise missile strikes on Syria as well. So they have made that. It's clear that it has sent a message to the North Koreans. I'm sure they're watching very carefully, as they always do. They're looking very closely at this administration and what it's going to do. So what message are they taking away from this? We don't know. Over the weekend, they did try to launch one of their ballistic missiles. Of course, it failed. But they don't seem to be backing down at this point.
We're speaking with Jim Michaels, military writer at USA Today. He's written a piece entitled, "Here's Just How Risky It Is to Fight North Korea." China is always in this conversation as well. Could China squeeze North Korea and make all this stop? Could it actually go that far?
I think it could have a lot of influence on Korea, as does the Trump administration, as the president himself has said on numerous occasions. They're economically tied together. China could put a lot of economic pressure on North Korea. And there are analysts now who say that China's appears to be moving a little bit in that direction, that they may be getting a little tired of North Korea's antics and may be starting to think about putting their influence on their North Korean allies.
How much of this is predictable, and it's just Kim Jong-un wanted to go back to the bargaining table and collect another couple hundred million or billion dollars from the West to make this go away for a couple of years?
Well, there's always that. And the problem with these talks, and we've seen it in the past, is you get into them, it delays things. They continue to move along the nuclear process and continue to sort of obfuscate and rope-a-dope. And then we're, two or three years down the road, closer to a nuclear strike, on U.S. mainland. So I think the Trump administration's a little bit wary of that road for obvious reasons.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Michaels, military writer at USA Today. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help to become a leader in industries that range from agribusiness and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan. Glad you're with us, and a good Thursday to you. Another big change at Fox News, which has gotten rid of leading ratings getter Bill O'Reilly in the wake of a sexual harassment scandal. Remember, this is also the same network that has seen Fox News chairman Roger Ailes pushed out and the departure of Megyn Kelly. A New York Times report detailing the $13 million paid to five women who worked at or appeared on his show led to dozens of advertisers boycotting Mr. O'Reilly's program and brought a slew of negative attention to the company. Dana Perino filled in for Mr. O'Reilly last night.
As we mentioned earlier, Bill O'Reilly is leaving this chair and this network after more than 20 years. Bill has been the undisputed king of cable news.
Mr. O'Reilly, who is 67 years old, earned more than $20 million a year. He released a statement saying, quote, "It is tremendously disheartening that we part ways due to completely unfounded claims." To fill the void in Fox's primetime lineup, by the way, Tucker Carlson is moving up 1 hour into Mr. O'Reilly's 8 p.m. time slot. A show called The Five will then air at 9 p.m. starting Monday. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Warden Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says the U.S. is looking at ways to pressure North Korea over its nuclear program.
We're reviewing all of the status of North Korea, both in terms of state sponsorship of terrorism, as well as all the other ways in which we can bring pressure to bear on the regime in Pyongyang.
Tillerson's comments came as North Korean state media warned the U.S. of a super mighty preemptive strike and said, "Don't mess with us." North Korea has rebuffed calls from Seoul major ally China and proceeded recently with nuclear and missile programs in defiance of U.N. Security Council sanctions. Vice President Mike Pence has reaffirmed the importance of what he says is the strategic partnership between the U.S. and the world's most populous Muslim nation, Indonesia. After meeting today with Indonesia's president, Pence said the two countries will continue to cooperate on combating terrorism.
Sadly, Indonesia is no stranger to this evil, nor is the United States of America, as the president and I discussed.
Pence also praised Indonesia for the moderate form of Islam it practices. The Arkansas Supreme Court has stayed the execution of one of two inmates due to die today and returned his case to the trial court for reconsideration of potential DNA evidence, handing the state another obstacle as it tries to execute eight prisoners in 11 days. Minutes later, a state circuit judge barred the state from using one of three drugs employed in its execution protocol. That order was requested by McKesson Medical Surgical, which says it would not have sold the drug to the Arkansas prison system had it known it would be used in executions. Fox News Channel's parent company fired Bill O'Reilly following an investigation into harassment allegations, bringing a stunning end to cable news' most popular program. O'Reilly's exit comes 9 months after his former boss, Fox News CEO Roger Ailes, was ousted following allegations of sexual harassment. Well, if money worries have you tossing and turning, you're not alone. Even with the economy in much better shape these days, 65% of us lose sleep over financial concerns, according to a survey by creditcards.com. That's just 4 percentage points fewer than the share of Americans who had money-related insomnia back in 2009 when we were in a recession. In 2007, just prior to the recession, 56% of us were losing sleep over financial worries.
It can be the root of all evil, right?
Yep.
Including your sleep problems. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Here's a phrase that can shake you right to your wallet. Financial literacy gaps. How much have your money mistakes cost you to date? $1,000? More than $30,000? Kelly Grant at CNBC.com says those gaps could be costing you more than you think. Kelly, meaning what?
There was some new survey data out from the National Financial Educators Council that they looked at estimates for folks and said, well, you know, due to maybe gaps in your financial knowledge, how much money do you think you've lost over your lifetime? And it was 3/4 of folks that put the cost at less than $30,000. And most of the people who think they haven't lost much, you know, there were a lot of younger folks, but some older ones too. And we started looking at this in the office and immediately thought, wow, like there are a lot of financial mistakes out there where, you know, if you're losing $30,000, you're actually kind of, you're on the lucky side, that there are some pretty big financial missteps that are really easy to make, sadly.
Wow. All right, like what, for example?
One of the big ones would be not paying attention to retirement account fees. There are a number of studies out there that show that people don't think they're paying any fees at all in their retirement account, or even if they're aware that they are paying fees, they're not quite sure how much and what different fees they might be subject to. But when you look at some of the numbers out there, and there was a Center for American Progress report, they kind of ran this over the course of your career, paying, say, 1% in fees versus 0.25%, you know, that's going to add up to easily more than $100,000 for somebody who's more of a high income worker.
Yeah.
And this, it basically ends up meaning like you'd have to work 3 years longer to retire with the same amount of money as somebody who had a lower fee account.
Jeez. Now you worry so much just about making sure people are doing something to sock money aside for retirement. Then you got this to consider.
Exactly. And wow. It really does pay to look at this, because there might actually be some good strategies for you that could be like switching to lower cost investment options within your plan, sort of saying, hey, you know, there's a certain point where, you know, once I've got that 401k match, I'm going to try to invest elsewhere. Could even just be, you know, as we all hop around different jobs over the course of a career, like being really smart about, like, do you move an old workplace plan?
All right. So on a somewhat related note then, here's one I guess probably more people are familiar with than the fees. That'd be cashing out a 401k.
Yes, and this is another one where, like, after you switch jobs, sometimes people, you know, they feel like it's just easier to cash that out. You know, maybe you've got moving expenses, you've got student loan debt, and it's really easy to look at some of these little account balances and go, like, well, what's $10,000, what's $15,000 going to do for my retirement? But if you take that money out, you're losing out on years of growth.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant at CNBC.com. She's also a certified financial planner. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. America's First News. The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
An economic boom is coming. Don't let your business get left behind. If you need to build, call General Steel today. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. You can still get an 80-foot by 150-foot building for under $99,000. That's right, 12,000 square feet for under $99,000. Don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach. Call 866-95-STEEL. 866-95-STEEL. That's 866-957-8335.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, April 20th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Tillerson ramps up rhetoric on Iran. Bill O'Reilly out at Fox. Lawsuit says Bose spies on you through its headphones. Adidas apologizes for an email to Boston Marathon finishers that congratulated them for surviving the race. Cal Berkeley is canceling a planned speech by conservative Ann Coulter. Starbucks offering a unicorn frappuccino. Pot smokers celebrate Weed Day today. And another planet that could support life. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Dell. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors can help you upgrade to powerful new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. We might soon be able to avoid one of the most awkward questions in a job interview, and that is, how much do you currently earn? Wall Street Journal reporter Kelsey G says a rash of cities and states are considering laws barring employers from asking how much applicants already make. The goal? To address discrepancies in what they feel or the way women and minority workers are paid. Kelsey, explain.
Seems like the world we live in today, which is like a post-lean-in universe, companies, lawmakers, you know, fair pay advocates are all really fired up about closing the pay gap, and they all have kind of different tactics for how to do that. This latest push I wrote about was about just new laws that we're seeing crop up all over the place, banning employers from asking job candidates what they made in a past job or even what they're currently making, which is a really interesting tactic.
All right. So which cities and states? Give some examples here.
So Massachusetts passed this law statewide. Philadelphia has passed it, but that one is a little bit contentious. And New York City just expanded that ban from just, you know, public sector, government-type jobs to the entire private sector in the city. And something like a dozen other states and cities are weighing these proposals that are currently, you know, in a draft form.
Wow. All right. So human resources departments, I presume, are beginning to scramble over this. Are there fines if, say, a violation of this is proved?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this would be attached to a fine if, you know, if someone found out that a hiring manager asked
a job seeker what they currently made, or we're trying to find out through alternative routes. Like, you know, if you're an employer and you reach out to a job candidate's past company to ask what they made, you know, that could also be associated with a fine. So they're really, I mean, it's just an outright ban in a lot of these places, which is, yeah, a pretty serious crime.
All right, you said, too, in the piece that some people argue that these bans are unlikely to address the real origins of pay imbalance. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So, I mean, as you can imagine, the reasons why men and women earn different amounts for doing the same job, or, you know, people of color, are very complicated. And advocates of these laws say, you know, one important piece of the pay gap is the fact that men and women make different amounts right from the get-go. So like a year out of college, there's already like a 25% premium in men's earnings compared to women. And I think it widens further when you look at white workers and workers of color. And so the theory goes that if you're a hiring manager and you use someone's past pay to come up with your offer for what they should be making, or what you propose that they make in their current or in this proposed job, that you carry that pay inequity from job to job to job to job. So that pay gap only widens over time.
We're speaking with Kelsey G., reporter at the Wall Street Journal. She's written a piece entitled "Cities Push Employers to Ignore Pay History." Is it possible, though, you could sink yourself, or get yourself blacklisted if you were to go and say to an employer who asks that, "Hey, you can't ask me that. That's a violation." Right then, I feel like you could be in trouble if you move from company to company in your specific industry.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I mean, pay conversations are already so thorny when you're talking about applying for a job. You know, negotiating from even just like a starting point that an employer puts out there first can be really tricky to navigate.
Thanks, Kelsey. Kelsey G., Wall Street Journal reporter. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us on this Friday eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you stopped by a Starbucks store yesterday, you might have noticed a longer than normal line, possibly due to the chain's launch of a unicorn frappuccino, a brightly colored concoction described by the company as flavor-changing and color-changing with magical flavors which start off sweet and fruity and transform to pleasantly sour. While that may sound delightful to some and gross to others, there's one group of folks who could definitely do without it: baristas. One such barista named Braden is becoming a viral sensation after taking to Twitter to voice his intense displeasure over having to make this unicorn drink.
So because it's been so popular online, everyone's like, "Oh my gosh, I need to try it when it comes out." Well, today it came out, and I have to tell you, please don't get it! I've never made so many frappuccinos in my entire life. My hands are completely sticky. I have never been so stressed out in my entire life. It has been insane. If you love us as baristas,
he's not done yet,
don't order it.
There is good news, however, for Braden and your favorite local unicorn-stained barista. The company says the drink will only be available for a limited time.
A unicorn-stained barista?
Yes, unicorn flavor stains.
Or a unicorn star, a scarred barista?
Yes, yes. Whatever That's the funny. Flavor of unicorn is, that is going to be all over you, apparently, according to Braden, if you make this drink.
That's funny. I watched the first few seconds and I thought, why is this trending on Twitter? And then he just lost it about 45 seconds. Seconds into the video. Very funny. Good stuff.
And breaking news, Gordon, 420 isn't the only holiday being celebrated today. Today is also National High Five Day. You might not have realized this, but the third Thursday in April has been National High Five Day since 2002, when it was started by a group of college students to encourage everyone to high five friends, co-workers, and strangers. And this year, there's even a movement to use the day to help to raise money to provide arts and athletics to kids with chronic illnesses. You can go to nationalhighfiveday.com to check that out. And while it's hard to fathom this now, there was a time, believe it or not, when we didn't slap our friends' hands in the air to show our excitement, though there is some dispute over the origin of the gesture. Some claim it was invented by Los Angeles Dodgers outfielder Glenn Burke when he spontaneously high-fived fellow outfielder Dusty Baker after a home run during a game in 1977. Others claim the 1978-79 Louisville basketball team started it on the court. See, I had always heard the, believe it or not, I've seen this before, and I've always heard that the Glenn Burke, Dusty Baker, I've heard that as the official origin story before, and which would mean that we're on the 40th anniversary now.
That's right.
Of the high five. But believe it or not, the high five, you know, again, does not go back really that far.
Didn't realize that. I never thought about the origins of the high five.
Yeah.
So my question would be...
That's good.
And
thinking about more important things.
If you are... in a relationship or have that relationship with somebody where you can high five them, you can probably then say that you are on a bro hug relationship also.
Probably.
I would think that those two are roughly hand in hand.
But when you think about it, well, the people who do the most high fiving, usually sporting events, right? Usually people on teams, and those folks do probably do the most bro hugging too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the two do go, like you said, hand in hand.
Okay, so here it is. The official study coming out of this morning, America's First News, is that high fives can equal bro hugs.
All right.
Acceptable celebration maneuvers.
We will send the breaking news tweet.
Thank you, Mike. It's 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Thanks for being with us. More Americans than ever before are stressed, depressed, and anxiety-ridden, and many are unable to get the help they need. CBS News says an estimated 8.3 million American adults, about 3.4% of the population, suffer from serious psychological distress. A new study blames the increase in large part on a lasting after-effect of the Great Recession that began in late 2007. Lead researcher says people psychologically affected by it haven't been able to get the help they need, either because they can't afford it or because their condition hampers their ability to seek out treatment. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
More than three current and four former U.S. officials have told Reuters that a Russian government think tank controlled by Vladimir Putin developed a plan to swing the presidential election to Donald Trump and undermine voters' faith in the electoral system. U.S. intelligence agencies have acquired documents that recommended the Kremlin launch a propaganda campaign on social media and Russian state-backed global news outlets to encourage U.S. voters to elect a president who would take a softer line toward Russia than the administration of then-President Obama. Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz of Utah says he will not run for re-election next year, a surprise decision from the congressman who raised his profile investigating the administration of President Obama. Chaffetz spoke on KSL Radio.
Think about that, 1,500-plus nights away for my family over the last 8 years, that's a lot, and it takes its toll.
Chaffetz, who breezed through four re-election campaigns, had faced mounting criticism in recent months for declining to investigate President Trump and likely would have faced a bruising primary and general election battle in 2018. He did not rule out running again. A man accused of killing a Pennsylvania state trooper has been convicted of all counts and now faces the death penalty more than 2 years after he led law enforcement on a 50-day manhunt. Nearly 1,000 members of law enforcement participated in the six-week manhunt in the northeastern Pennsylvania woods before U.S. Marshals captured the anti-government survivalist outside an abandoned airplane hangar. The Super Bowl champion New England Patriots were honored yesterday by President Trump at the White House on a day when quarterback Tom Brady stayed behind for personal family matters. 34 players were present for the ceremony on the South Lawn, noticeably fewer than years past, but rookie wide receiver Malcolm Mitchell says he wouldn't have missed it.
As a kid, you read about history, you read about the White House, you read about some of the things inside, but to actually go in and be able to experience it firsthand is something that I hope everybody gets the opportunity to do.
Meanwhile, team owner Robert Kraft and head coach Bill Belichick didn't address questions about yesterday's death of former player Aaron Hernandez. Neither did the six players in attendance who played with Hernandez.
Kind of a weird stretch for the NFL.
I'll say.
You got the Patriots celebration.
Yeah.
You got the Aaron Hernandez news earlier
on
in the day.
Same day.
Right. Now, today, tonight, we get the NFL schedule. It's been a weird period. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Astronomers have found yet another planet that seems to have just the right combination for life. Not so hot, not so cold, not too far away either. CBS News says this big, new, dense planet is rocky like Earth and has the right temperatures for water, putting it in the habitable zone for life. A study in the journal Nature says it's the fifth such life-possible planet outside our solar system revealed in less than a year. That's 52 potentially habitable planets and more than 3,600 planets outside the solar system. Oh, by the way, if you're self-conscious about your weight, don't bother visiting this one because of the gravity there. A person weighing 167 pounds would feel like 500 pounds on this planet. And hopefully you like travel because it's 230 trillion miles away. It's in the constellation Cetus. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.